Hi, everyone. We're just finalizing last bit of setup. If you can't hear us, please let us know. Otherwise, we are so glad you're here with us today. We had made a trip, actually a pilgrimage recently to Peru, and stopped on the way back to Belize as well, which is the place where we were initially invited and what brought on this journey for a few weeks. And we've learned some things with regards to navigating the airports, train stations, bus stations.
Well, what you find is that increasingly, and anybody who's traveling is probably seeing this, but increasingly you are seeing more and more biometric scanning. So whether people, when you're going through the airport, and this could be through security, this can be even as you are moving along, even to board your plane, we found, and we'll go through some of these in just a moment, the examples, but they want you in front of a camera to get your facial recognition. And then also they're starting to ask for digital fingerprints for all your fingerprints. And so we were aware of this before we even started our trip. So we kind of prep things in advance, but we really didn't know what to expect until we were actually there and we were navigating the airports and even train stations and whatnot too when we were trucking around.
What Jason means when he's saying that we prepped in advance, we actually emailed all the various airlines that we had made reservations with and notified them that we are planning this trip on these particular dates, on these particular flight numbers, and we did not consent to any biometric data collection, and we were requesting a manual identification instead.
So we sent a notice a couple of days before we actually left. And so just to give you an example, we ended up going through all in all, was, you know, in under 3 weeks, we ended up probably hitting about six different countries that we had ended up in and around 10 different flights.
Yes,
and
it ended up being
depending 10. On the country was very different as far as what requirements were. But the most intense one was the United States, which I think probably most people can imagine.
And Peru.
And Peru was too. So Peru had been doing actually biometric scanning for a while now. And we didn't have any idea necessarily what it was, but when we got there and we had to go through immigration. So you'll kind of hit different pieces. And we'll talk briefly around these different areas. So there's going through immigration is one of the pieces that you have to be able to navigate. And then there's going through the security, where you go through the security and
they check your luggage and your bag.
Yeah. And then what we found is that several other places, particularly in the United States, you would hit different areas where they were wanting to do more biometric scanning. It was right up until you were actually going to board your flight. They had another line for people standing in front and getting biometric scanning.
What is biometric scanning?
So essentially when they're taking a digital verification of who you are. So what you'll see most of the time now is it's going to be standing in front of a screen and then they scan your face and then they
typically
use
that. It's a small camera. Or sometimes in airlines now, they actually have like a computer screen.
A full
screen.
Big computer screen. And then the other one that you'll come across is going to be fingerprint scanning. So they'll want to put your fingerprints down and scan that. So anyways, where to start with all of this? So maybe we'll start with where we first kind of encountered
it. Why is it important? This year in particular, it's been all about digital ID, if you've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people that we actually came across with through our journey in various airports didn't sound like they were happy about it, but they felt like there wasn't any other choice but to go along with it, because all you're hearing is that it's mandatory or it's convenient, it's faster. It's for your safety. That's a big...
All the same ones. And when you're in the airport, you actually see, I had never seen it before, but particularly when we were in the airport in LA transferring through, you saw everywhere. There was
posters
and videos nonstop of the convenience of facial recognition. So it had people scanning their face. It was like, avoid the lineups, move through quicker. So what you usually see is with when they're wanting to move you towards something, they will first increase the allure of convenience. And it is more convenient, and they usually make the other stuff much more challenging. So it becomes much more inconvenient to not do it. But if you have done it, then you can go through a little bit faster. So they first kind of show you the convenience, and it's everywhere. So it's like even on your whole walk towards immigration, there's just pictures and videos of facial recognition scanning, sort of prepping you to get used to doing it. And then, and so what Taya's saying it too is why it's important to try to avoid is it's like, and this is the thing where I think a lot of people get caught. They say, well, you know, they already have all of our data. They've already got all of it. And they probably do to some point. But I almost think of it, in my head, I think of it like abuse. It's like, maybe you've been abused once, but that doesn't mean you keep going back and doing it over and over and over again. If you know it doesn't feel right and it doesn't feel like it's something that, you know, makes your body kind of cringe, then we need to exercise our right to say no around things. It's really important. Otherwise, it's just going to get more and more and more. And the idea is that the biometric scanning is going to become, as most of you are probably aware of, is just going to become more and more prevalent for everything eventually that people are going to need. So,
and this is something, you know, countries such as China are well ahead of this experiment, and they've consented to the point that, you know, you've heard of the social credit system, where because they have collected and consented to all their data being banked by various agencies, they are able to monitor that population much more closely. And if anyone gets out of line with regards to what they're doing behavior-wise, then certain things get cut off or they won't have access to. So this is concerning for sure.
And so this is kind of the concern around everything. And this is why it's important to say no when we have the ability to say no. So that kind of explains the why we don't think it's a very good idea to give your biometrics away if you have the right to say no. When you go through these experiences, you realize that it is so set up to be streamlined that it's like before you even realize you've already had your face scanned, you've already given your data away, because they don't volunteer where would you like to do this? It's very much stand here, do this, look here, okay,
stand
move
on.
It's just sort of orders telling you where to go.
And because everyone is kind of funneled through that line, you don't think that you have a choice because whether the computers are already set up and everyone is going in and scanning their pictures and documents, or whether it's you're lining up for the immigration agent and everyone is going forward. And
you feel uncomfortable because you don't want to make the lineup wait. Everybody's kind of watching at you. There's a lot of discomfort that can come with stepping outside of what everybody else is doing.
And we've also been socially conditioned to not want to stand out and cause issues and problems and inconvenience for others, regardless of how we feel within our own body. So that's definitely a big part of it as well. We need to be okay with just having our own voice and making our own decisions independent of what we feel others are, what sort of judgments are going to come at us from various directions.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, I think, just to clarify, we're speaking on this from the point of view of Taya and Jason within our personal capacity. These have been our personal experiences these past few weeks, and we're sharing it in the hopes that it's helpful to empower and inspire you if you are navigating any sort of treks through the airports or train stations or even bus stations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in general, you'll notice too that this past year specifically, there's been more and more surveillance cameras at whether it be bus stops, over bridges, by red lights, like traffic lights. They're everywhere. And so it's concerning. It's definitely concerning. And if you're within, if you've been following the work that we've been putting out, hopefully you're in the know about the agendas being put forth, the Agenda 2030, and what's ultimately the goal for the, whether you call it the globalists or the governments or what have you. But, you know, once you kind of come to terms with what is going on in the world, and you feel the fear, I think we all did, you do, you can't help it, but like, also even go through a bit of a grieving of like coming to terms with our world in the way that we hadn't been aware of before. And these agendas, even once you become aware of it, is disheartening, it's heartbreaking, it's nerve-wracking, it's all of those things. But once you do kind of move through those emotions, and I hope you do, because on the other side of it is like, okay, what now? What do we do now? What is within my power to do? What can I do on a daily basis? And then you start to actually take actions and speak from a place of a yearning and a wanting and a longing to contribute to our world, our reality in a more beneficial way. So then when you do see things that are, that don't feel good in your gut and in a deep instinctual level, it doesn't feel for you to go along with something, even though everyone around you might be.
And that doesn't necessarily even mean that everybody around you is totally on board with everything either. So a lot of people,
we
even found certain people when we were trekking through there that just had no idea that you could say no or that you could do something different. And also just, again, all those things that we were talking about, just nervous to stand out and everything else. So it's like when you actually do what feels right for you, when in the moment, you are kind of sparking that around people around you too.
It definitely inspires others to also take different actions because they're like, oh, that's an option. I never felt right doing that. Okay, I will do that too.
Yeah, in one of the lineups, we met two elderly women that were traveling, and we heard them kind of talking a little bit about the biometrics a little bit, like, what's going on with that? And we said, well, you know, you don't have to do that. They're like, what? You don't? They're like, we've already done it a few times. They're like, that's fine, but you don't have to keep doing it. And so then they actually
switched lines
and went into the line where they didn't have to.
It
literally can be that simple, but most people just don't, and they don't make it look like there's a choice. So I think that's the important part, is that if people are traveling, like, you do have a choice.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Should we briefly go into what our journey looked like leaving Canada and heading through the States and heading into Peru was our first destination, heading south.
Yeah, so going into Peru.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the first big layover we had was in Los Angeles. And what was interesting in Los Angeles was that we saw, like I said, so many signs around the convenience of facial recognition scanning. So I just hadn't seen that really before, but it was everywhere. And it was definitely priming everybody to get used to doing it. You even saw certain areas that were going into boarding didn't even have agents there. It was completely automated, where you would actually have to go through and have yourself scanned to go in. Now, even when you see that, there would have to be somewhere a manual option, but it was just really surprising to see that there was certain, and it was all based around speed, go through the line faster, you know, quicker, more convenient. But yeah, just basically one of the rolly things where you go through and you scan and then it unlocks and you go through.
I will preface this too by saying that all the documents and the emails that we received after booking our flights, I read all of them. So anything, and I made sure that nothing else was being enforced other than needing to
have your passport.
And that was verified on our part. We had sent an email in advance to the airlines. And I'm not saying that's necessarily something all of you need to do or we advise to do, but that's what we felt called to do. And that's what we did. And we did receive a response saying that manual identification would be the only thing that would be required. And go ahead. I'll let you continue.
Yeah. So then that was kind of the climate in Los Angeles, just so much talked about. But when we arrived in Peru, that was the first.
Maybe mention as far as the agent, the immigration. We did have to go through immigration as well as security when we were moving through Los Angeles as well. And initially, when we walked up to the agent, there's a tiny little camera in front of the agent. And Jason stepped right in front of that. And right away, she took the picture. And I said, I'm sorry, we're only wanting manual. And she was taken initially, because I don't think most people request it.
Well, and the thing to notice is that when you're like normally you'd walk up to give them your passports, but you walk up to give your passports and you don't even realize they've got a tiny little camera that's right there now that takes your picture as soon as you walk in. So being able to see that also when you're going in the lineups, look to see
how
kind of scout it out a little bit just so you see, because you don't want to inadvertently just walk in front of an area where
maybe we'll speak from our personal experience, just what we did rather than advice.
Yes. So, for us, once we realized that the camera was right there, then whenever we would come up to those areas, we were off to the side, making sure that we were not in view, and also keeping the kids kind of behind you as well, if you have kids, so that they're not, again, inadvertently going up and all of a sudden getting themselves scanned before they even know what happened.
And initially, that agent was taken aback, like I mentioned briefly. And when I mentioned, you know, this is just what we're feeling comfortable with and that we don't want any digital biometric collection being made. And then she was very friendly and cordial. And this is really
key. It was
like
it just switched with her.
Yeah, and I think this is really key. We have to be very respectful.
Yeah.
And
don't go up demanding your rights. Otherwise, you create conflict right away. It's like, just go up.
It's not necessary.
See these people as just regular people doing their job. And you coming from a place of the heart, being able to express your sincere wishes for you and your family.
Went to Peru, there was again a line, and
this was going through the immigration when you arrived there. So we actually were watching going, wow, they're really set up. They've got everybody going through is standing in front of the camera and collecting all of their digital fingerprints.
All 10 fingerprints.
And so we got up there and we're with the kids and the kids are tired and they're already kind of complaining because it's getting to be a long day. And right away they just like, okay, yep, passports. And okay, stand here. And we're like, we're not doing the digital identification. Can we please have a manual processing? And it really took the immigration guard by sort of aback. I don't think they'd ever really even heard that. And long story short, they called in another person. They came and asked us. They said, sorry, you can't come into the country without having, this is mandatory to enter Peru. You need to have your picture taken and you need to have your fingerprints. And we just said, sorry, we're not able to do that. And I mean, we had also said through that was against our wishes.
And we've done some of the paperwork in the background. And for those of you who are interested in that piece of it, we highly recommend it. We've seen the fruits of our labor, which we've dedicated quite some time to those efforts for the past few years, play out very strongly during this past trip that mm-hmm. we took. However, I think ultimately it's also going to come to our own ability to just say no, it doesn't feel right.
I think that was the big thing around all of it, was that even with a lot of the documents and everything else that we have kind of created, most of the time, none of that was even needed. It just was being strong in your conviction that you weren't okay with that. Because at the end of the day,
I think those were,
they were not, still, no, no they're still definitely effective. But I'm saying for a lot of it, they didn't even need to come into play. You just by saying no.
Other than Peru.
Other than Peru.
We definitely used that card in Peru.
So they came back and forth. We ended up waiting in line about an hour.
I want to paint the picture too, because this was, you know, we were traveling for almost at this point over 20 hours with the children, various flights, and they were tired. We were tired. There was a long lineup behind us. People were looking on, anticipating us just moving along. We were the only ones, as we looked around, not agreeing to this process. Kids were hungry and grumpy. There were three agents that came and went and asked us questions in Spanish and in English. I'm just painting the picture that none of it was convenient.
It's not comfortable.
And it's not comfortable. It's not necessarily easy, but it felt important to do. It felt like if we don't take a stand and just say no to what doesn't feel right, then what would become of our current situation and the future that we will be navigating through? I feel like at some point we are here in order to stand our ground and say no to what doesn't feel right, so that we can start to actually create more of that which is more conducive and togetherness and all those qualities that we all are longing for.
Mm-hmm. So eventually they would keep coming back and they would say, no, you won't be able to come into the country without it. And we would just keep saying, sorry, we can't. So then they tried to bargain. They went, okay, well, we at least need his, pointing at me, we at least need his picture. And I said, sorry, we can't do that either. And you could see them kind of like trying to figure out what to do. And at the end of it, they took our passports, they took our own IDs that we had created, the different things that we had. They scanned everything and then they gave us our stuff and let us go through.
So this was after an hour. And
I think what Tay had said after, she goes, you know, it's a lot of this is just administrative. It's like it's a bit more of an inconvenience on their side because they have to process things in another step. They have to add another step. But administratively, they just need to check off certain boxes. And so if you are not giving the, you know, your picture and your scans, then they need something else. So it's like whether they need to process it and run it all through themselves or whatever it is they have to do, but it just takes a little bit more time and is inconvenience. And most of the time, that's where you're running into the pressure. And then I think one of the tactics is that they also know that most people are in a rush. You just want to get in the country. You don't want to miss a flight. Like, so there's a lot of pressure around it. And that's when just most times people just go and give them whatever they want.
And for us, we'll mention here too, that we were willing to, throughout this whole journey, we had made a commitment to to just doing what felt right for us to do, which is not to to give up our biometric data. And so we were willing to, if we had to miss a flight, we were willing to stay behind and stay longer. We were willing to, typically they ask you to then go to the immigration office or room. So we were willing to do all of that in order to hold our ground.
So once we kind of moved through that, and that was one of the more intense, that was probably the most intense stop along the whole thing.
And that lasted for about an hour.
Yeah. But once we actually got through, then we're like, okay, that was not written in stone the way it makes it sound like it's written in stone. Like when you see these, it's mandatory to do this. There's flexibility in that. When it says it's mandatory and when it says these are required, it just, it doesn't mean what we often think it means. And so that was a really big one for us, was like, wow, we were actually able to move through all that. And literally the only people we could see out of thousands of people moving through that, that really busy airport at the time.
And I think, again, it's really key to read the fine print when you are booking or about to book or have booked, so that you know what's in store and how to best prepare. Because things as we experience them are not mandatory at this time. However, we're not sure what things are going to be like in the upcoming months ahead.
Mm-hmm. The other places were all very different. So going through, like, Mexico was like really easy. The fellow was chipper, just took our passports. It was like a regular old school check-in. There was no pictures needed, no nothing. That was really straightforward.
Mexico did advise us that they needed, so online, they advised us that we needed to also pay a tourist fee going in. I made the mistake of complying and paying that in advance. And when we did go
through, they make it sound like if you don't, you're going to get stuck and you won't be allowed in the country. That's kind of how most of these things are prefaced.
And there was no mention of it while we were moving through Mexico. And even when we came across the agent in Mexico, I showed him the receipt, and he just didn't even, he said, it's no problem. So I made the mistake of actually
so
doing that in advance.
So it was probably more voluntary than required.
Then I wish I would have done that, if need be, in person at the time.
Because you can also, all of these things are sent out via email. So you can also just say you did not have access to your phone or to your email. And that if that's
what we did,
yeah, because the end of the day, it's like, if it's really important, then they'll have a manual way of processing it. If you don't have access to your phone and you can't do it online, then you could not do it online. So that's always a way to kind of move through. Yeah, I didn't get it, or I didn't have access to it. So what's required or what's not required? And most of the time it doesn't even come up because it wasn't required.
So I think in summary, I just wanted to mention some key things with regards to that. We would typically put our phone away. We share one phone within the family. We're barely holding on to this one phone right now. But anyhow, we share the one phone and we typically put it away. And even when we are checking in, we have a printed copy of everything. So that we're doing everything manually. Mm-hmm. So when we go to check in, we ask for a physical copy of the boarding ticket. When you arrive at a country, if you have to fill out any forms, we don't do anything in advance online. We ask for a manual check-in at the immigration here, returning back to Canada. There's a kiosk that everyone goes to, and you scan your passport and do all the stuff yourself.
And they take your picture. So when you arrive into Canada, what you run through first when you're going through immigration is all of the machines that everybody just goes to. You scan your passport, it takes your picture, and it prints something off that then you give the immigration guard.
So we didn't do any of that. We went and proceeded forward in line and asked the agent if we could do it manually. And it's all available. It's just usually hidden from plain view. So he said, yeah, just go over there. And there's a table there with with the forms that you're able to fill out. So we did all of that manually. The agent that would also want to take your picture and your fingerprints, ultimately they just took a look at the passport, old school, and then looked at your face, look at the passport, look at your face, and that's how they approved us. So that's what it means to manually get identified. So yeah, we did just manual throughout the whole process. And did you want to mention something else? Because I wanted to mention something about the X-ray machines as well.
Go ahead, and then I'll mention around going through the states.
Okay. After. So when you go through security, typically there's like a big box looking machine, yeah, and it's an X-ray, full body X-ray machine that oftentimes people go into with arms up as if you've committed a crime, and they do a full body scan. That's not really great for your health at all. So when we were going through one of the airports, the other one that looks like a doorway, door frame, and that's a metal detector, that one was actually, that had a sign on it saying do not enter. So it was
It was like closed right off. So it wasn't even available for people. They were just all going through.
It didn't look like it was available. Right. It appeared that it's not available. And then we never go into that box. And now we know that we can actually say no to all of it. We can say no to the metal detector, and we can say no to the full body X-ray scan and ask for a pat down instead. And I highly advise that to all of our friends and family.
Well, it shows just the different options that you've actually got available. So you can kind of decide for yourself what option works for you, but that it's not so clear cut that you have to be in the one direction. Even if everybody else is going in that direction, you just have to tell them what you want, you know, say, sorry, I don't do that. Or it's, I mean, it's already got exemptions for certain people with certain conditions, but you can just say, I don't want to do that. What's my other option? And there always are.
Well, what, you know, it's a pat down. So just ask for a pat down instead of any of those machines. And then it might cause a bit of inconvenience. Again, they might have to call somebody. So you might feel uncomfortable. But this is a big part of this whole process. Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to be okay being uncomfortable. We need to be okay in having a bit of inconvenience coming
up. It's almost like, can we still think clearly even when we are uncomfortable?
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
You kind of automatically go into a different, you're not really thinking anymore. You go into this autopilot mode when we get nervous or uncomfortable around stuff because we just want it to go away. But it really is a testament to, can you still be within yourself and operating from your own instructions and your own knowing, and even when you feel pressured and when you feel uncomfortable. So probably even, you know, it's a good practice in other parts throughout the day when we start to feel, you know, even minor areas of pressure or inconvenience or sort of anxiousness, can we still connect back into what we know feels right for ourselves.
And can you also be okay with being with those sensations? I mean, I feel like we've been talking about this sort of stuff for, you know, within our meditation and yoga practice for well over a decade now. And mm-hmm. as far as, or even the Pema Chodron teachings that we would talk about, what was her book? We'll have to bring that up again and discuss it. But it's just being okay with discomfort, with uncomfortable sensations that come up. Can we be with it and not try to make it better, make it go away? Can we actually feel it? Let it just move through you, because it will change, it will shift. But that's, I feel like this is where all the teachings that we've talked about and we've discussed are actually becoming very relevant in real time.
Yeah. I just want to mention the other part going through the states, which was interesting. When we were going through immigration, there was a big sign when we were going through the immigration. This was in Texas. And it was basically talking, again, on the movement up to immigration, there was a ton of posters and videos on facial recognition. It was kind of priming you for that. And then there's a big sign up there that said, if you are a U.S. national and you don't want facial recognition scanning, then you have to speak to an agent. But it said if you were not, that it was required by law, and it had the statute that it was prefacing. And I remember reading that going, this will be an interesting one to see what happens when we go there and request that we don't want to have our pictures taken. Because it kind of sets it right up there that's required. You know, they need, and it actually says it keeps it on there for over 2 years or something along those lines in their database. So we went up there and we ended up with, I think, a fairly disgruntled immigration officer.
He wasn't very happy.
No, he wasn't enjoying his job. And so we went up there and kind of stayed off to the side from the camera, and right away, didn't even look at you, just passport, stand on the blue line. We're like,
I'm sorry.
can we do a manual processing of our passports? And he kind of, it went through a few things. So first, you could tell he was a bit inconvenienced by the whole thing. And when we said that we weren't able to do that, he said, okay, because I'm going to phone like head office or whatever. So he got on the phone and we kind of think he probably didn't even really phone anybody, but
it didn't sound like
he was on there. It's like, yep. Can, if it's a non U.S. national, can they bypass the picture? Nope. Okay. That's what I thought. Nope. That's all I need to hear. Puts it down, goes, nope, stand on the line. So sorry, sir. We can't do that. And, he sighed, taught us how much of an inconvenience we were being. And he said, well, what's going to happen is you're going to end up in that. And he knew, because we give the tickets,
the boarding
and
pass.
We were passing through and we were catching another flight. And so he knew we were catching another flight. He says, well, what's going to happen? You're going to end up in that back room there for over 3 hours. Are you prepared for that? And Tay goes, yes, we'll go wait in the back room. So he shook his head and eventually finished running everything through, gave us the passports. This lady grabbed us or came in and ushered us into the back room. We went there. We were in the back room for probably no more than 10 to 15 minutes. They gave us our passports and we went on to the next one. So again, a lot of this stuff is just, it's pressure. Like it creates a feeling of discomfort. It creates a feeling like you're going to run into more and more troubles, but we did nothing wrong and we were just declining having those biometric scans. You have to remember too, it's like, if anything went down with technology, they have to still have a manual way of processing things. They have to be able to still do that. So if something went wrong with their cameras, then they still got to be able to process things manually. So there's always that option. But what was really interesting around that was that even though the sign said it was mandatory by law for non-US nationals to have their picture taken and scanned, it actually wasn't. We were able to go back there, and then we went in the back room, and then they just called us up and, yep, you guys are going back to Canada. Yeah, okay, here's your passports. Go ahead. And move right on through without having to do anything else. So it just shows you how malleable some of these things are, at least where we are right now. Now, that might get more intense in the coming year. That's very possible, but...
And it did for a period. We can recall what the beginning of, what was it, 2020? mm-hmm. where everything was shut down and travel was interrupted. But we have to recognize that these things are just, these things last for just for a period. And we have to also be willing to take the right action and as far as what feels best within our body. And to also eat well, drink well, you know, clean water. All of those basics are really important because when you are treating your body well, then it becomes, you know, one of the most important vessels we have for recognizing and feeling into truth. And if we're able to then tune into that truth and act from that place of what feels best for us, then we're being of service not only within our own life because it just feels better and we're able to sleep better at night, but we're also creating a ripple effect energetically for others around us as well. It's the best way I feel like we can be of service to each other, just that feels right within our own body, and to take steps and actions that might not necessarily always feel comfortable or convenient, and that's mm-hmm. okay.
And going through the states, even though we were just transitioning through to catch our connecting flight, there was four different areas where they were collecting biometrics. It was crazy. It was mm-hmm. like, you know, the immigration was the first one, but then again through security they wanted it again, and then there was another spot that was another like a security place where they wanted it again,
and then the
actually boarding your flight. They're talking about they had two lines, and they had people were lined up just standing in front of a camera getting. And I think that was because most people didn't even know why they were standing there. They were just in line going, oh, like here, okay, can you get it? But I think it's all just part of like the next step, so that eventually people are all on there, so then they don't have to do any manual thing. You just get used to doing it, and
people.
Yeah, it's really just getting people used to doing something, and we really just wanted people to know that you've got more say in any of that than you often think you do. And even if nobody else is saying anything, it's on the table for you to use if you choose to.
Yeah, Empress is mentioning mm-hmm. something here.
If you have any questions on any of that stuff, yes.
Did they ask you why you are refusing? No, they didn't ask why we were refusing. And we just said we are just over and over. We just said we're requesting manual identification.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is like
they did in Peru, actually.
Yeah, Peru did.
They did. And we said religious accommodation. And again, we supplied our paperwork that we've done.
We had created a
legal standing.
A legal ministry. Standing. We've actually created a ministry based out of the United States and have our ministerial cards. So we have that as well that I think helped us in Peru specifically.
But, and again, for those of you that sort of work, if that resonates with you, then we strongly recommend it. But that's up to you. But I think just knowing that you have rights and mm-hmm. you don't need to comply, you don't need to go along with things that just don't feel right. And we're sharing our story in hopes that it inspires you and to know that, you know, you can feel empowered having this information going forward.
Yeah. Feel free if you guys have, before we finish up, any questions that you've got specifically, just throw them in the chat or any concerns, anything around that, just go ahead.
Otherwise, we will, you're welcome.
Yeah, otherwise we will sign off here, and thanks to all of you for joining, and feel free to reach out to us too. You can always connect up. What was your experience in the Canadian border? That was actually, I think, pretty straightforward. I feel like so much of it is just on autopilot because you go in and then right away you go to the machine. Like in Canada, when you're coming in, you first go through the long line of machines where you basically do your own processing. You scan your passport in the machine and it takes your picture, and then that's what you take to the immigration.
We should mention too that we had done that in the past. So yeah. Many years ago,
Without any, it's fine.
Yeah. And we don't do that anymore because we're what the trajectory is leading us all towards.
Yeah. I mean, I often look at my kids and I'm kind of thinking, if this is what it is right now, like, what's it going to be like when, you know, when they're adults, if this is just the route that is going to keep going. So even though it's like, yes, we've done those, you know, we've traveled before and they've had those processing stops and picture scanning
and
for Canadians
setups.
For a while now. And we've done that in the past, but it's like, I don't want to do it anymore. It doesn't feel right to me. So now we're just, and knowing that you can go and just get a manual processing of it. So,
and but, I would mention to one of our friends, cause I checked in with her. She returned back to Canada recently after us, just a couple of days ago from Florida. And I wanted to check in to see what mm-hmm. her experience was. And apparently this is where you see that they're definitely escalating. Like, they're creating more and more restrictions, more and more things that have to be done prior to
right.
Entering or leaving a country. And ArriveCan is apparently what was asked of them.
They were told by their U.S. flight coming in that they had to, that was mandatory to finish their ArriveCan before they entered into Canada.
And she said that despite being advised via Delta, whom we were flying with, that the ArriveCan app was, quote, mandatory, we encountered no mention of it whatsoever upon entry in Canada in Vancouver. Handwritten declaration cards were easily accessible, but not easy to see behind all the automated kiosks, as I'm sure you've noticed as well. We bypass other cameras easily by asking for a manual ID at each point. I went through the regular / small metal detector with my daughter. My husband skipped them altogether by requesting a pat down instead. All personnel were pleasant and accommodating. The only thing I'd recommend people, if it's important to them, is to have children stand behind or beside them away from the camera. So we spoke of that briefly mm-hmm. as well, or perhaps even inform kids to step to the side where when they see a camera. The first one we encountered, security lineup at Tampa Airport, scanned my daughter's face automatically after I had requested manual ID and the attendant was looking at her passports. He assured me that it didn't register, but it was clear to me that it had. This was the only hiccup we encountered. So that's just another update from mm-hmm. recent.
Yeah, and so they did really well. And I think one person here, Free Spirit, is asking, were you the only ones asking? Sorry, missed it.
Yeah,
I mean, that was kind of the thing that was...
And that's why we're having this short little gap.
Because we
here.
Also realized, even when we were traversing through there, we met other people while we were going through this process, particularly in the States, because there were so many stops, like four different stops of going through these different pieces. Other people kind of questioning the same thing, not really sure what to do or if you could do anything. So it, you know, our conversation and us navigating it also, even if you don't think it does, it's putting something out there for other people that are questioning. You can guarantee more and more people are questioning it. Most people just go along with it. But if they see other people not, and they also feel like they don't want to, they're going to be more inclined to then choose another route.
So yes, at the time, at the various stops, we were the only ones that we could observe questioning the biometric collection and asking for manual ID instead. However, this is exactly the reason as to why we were inspired to have this conversation and share this with our community, knowing, just informing you guys that you can ask for manual identification and to avoid all the machines and all the, we don't use any QR codes. We do actually, as previously mentioned, we put our phone away and that's not available or accessible during our travels, so that is not a way for them to send us something and ask for confirmation via text or QR code or what have you.
Yeah. I mean, everything now is basically binding people to their phone, everything. And if you don't have access to your phone, then they have to do things with a manual way. So even that's really the easiest way probably for a lot of it is like, I don't have access to my All right, everybody. Good luck with everything. And
let us know how it goes if you're planning on traveling. For the U.S., they say no to real ID.
Say no to real ID, yeah.
Say no to real That's ID.
Real ID is what they are moving out pretty soon.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Much love to everyone.
Thanks for being here.